To Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, for our reading, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 13, that's page 907 and to 908 in the church Bibles. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him in all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then they brought him to Jerusalem. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We're still continuing in the study that we began last year on the subject of guarding the heart. Guarding the heart. I suppose the theme verse that would cover our considerations really is from Proverbs 4. And these are the words that we're told, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So the Christian life is a walk, it is a race, and it is a battle. And it's all three, and more besides. A walk needs consistency, a race needs perseverance, a battle needs courage and commitment. And above all, we've been seeing in our studies together, it's a great need to guard the heart. And we've seen from looking at Psalm 37, guarding against fretfulness, fretful care, or impatience, and sinful anger. If they were the only things that we had to guard our hearts against, well, we could rest content, but we can't rest content because there are other things that we've got to beware and take heed of, particularly temptation. And this is a passage that is well known to us. We're familiar with this. We've seen it before, no doubt, heard messages on this subject. But it ties into what I hope to have been saying these past months on guarding the heart. And here it's guarding the heart against selfishness, particularly verses 3 and 4, the first temptation then. How we need to guard our hearts against selfishness. Often we can't anticipate this temptation because this problem is endemic to us. It's in our nature so so determinedly and so set, we find it very difficult to extricate ourselves from the web of selfishness. There's a book I read many years ago which was called The Fight, written by a man called John White, and he said that selfishness is really, it's like the cuckoo in the nest of your heart, and it doesn't belong. Self doesn't belong there, and yet it's avaricious in its appetite and its demands. And the first temptation of the evil one to our Lord Jesus was a temptation to selfishness. And this is what the devil says: if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. There's a perverse unity in these three temptations, all inspired by the enemy, by the devil. They're not to be thought as beads on a string, more rather than three branches on a tree trunk. And the aim of each temptation was really to break down the Lord Jesus' trust in his heavenly Father. That was the aim of each of these temptations, to break down trust in his heavenly Father. And that's the aim of the devil today. He would want us to not trust the heavenly Father. And temptation comes to us to subvert our faith and to take our eyes off the Lord. Graham Scroggie wrote quite an interesting introduction to the temptations. He said this: we see a thoroughly and how comprehensive and universal these temptations are. It makes appeal first to the elements of our personality, first to our body, second to our soul, third to our spirit. It appeals also to our three great faculties, first to our faith, the second to our reason, the third to our conscience. It works upon typical perils to which we're all exposed. The peril in the first of appetite, in the second of adventure, in the third ambition. It uses all the constituent elements of the world which threaten us. In the first, the lust of the flesh. In the second, the lust of the eyes. In the third, the pride of life. It seeks to degrade certain legitimate desires. In the first, the desire for satisfaction. In the second, the desire for acknowledgement. In the third, the desire for usefulness. And so it's a remarkably comprehensive, though they're only three, yet they encompass much regarding our vulnerabilities. So here is this need to guard our hearts against this temptation to selfishness. And we look at this particular issue and this particular temptation this evening under several headings. Firstly, the surprising nature of this temptation to selfishness. The surprising nature. Now, the attack of the devil in this instance is not against the lines of gross or sinful desires. Our Lord had none, of course. This was directed against the elementary needs of our Lord's nature. They were essential to his true humanity. This is attack, if you like, upon our Lord's incarnation. Did you notice that this was in the guise and the pretense of religion? That's kind of suggested doubt. If you are the Son of God. But the Father had just affirmed this to be so. In the previous chapter, Luke 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So the Heavenly Father has affirmed the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. But how? Now the devil comes and says, well, if you are, and immediately putting a question mark, doubt. Temptation is really a full frontal attack. It's a bit more insidious than this, isn't it? You've found this in your Christian life, and so have I. And this is why Paul said, put on the whole armour of God, for you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The subtle wiles of the devil. And another verse which reminds us of the subtlety and the craftiness of our foe. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. He has devices. He has wiles. It sounds plausible, this temptation. Just make a little concession to self. Think about yourself. Pander to yourself. After all, Jesus, you've deserved it. 40 days in the wilderness. Well, you ought to reward yourself. Reward yourself by asking telling these stones to become bread. Pander to yourself. Think about yourself. Reward yourself. You know, it sounds very subtle, this, doesn't it? And yet it's this point where we've got to guard our hearts against selfishness. The web of selfishness can so easily trap us. This temptation has the devil's fingerprints all over it. And it's not unlike the first temptation to Adam and Eve. Eat, says the devil to Eve, and then to Adam. And they fell. It says the same thing to the second Adam, and he wins. He defeats the enemy. Where would we be had he fallen? But he hadn't. He remains his integrity to the end. So this is not a direct frontal assault. This is not arousing sinful desires. It seems just a subtle attack, does it not? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Think about your hunger. Think about your appetites. Pander to it. Reward yourself. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's a surprising nature then. And then the subtlety of the temptation to selfishness. Here are stones. If you are the Son of God, make them come bread. You can do this. It's within your power. In other words, you are hungry, aren't you? Well, yes, he was. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. It's not just a one-off, it's a continual assault, this. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. So the devil knew he was, of course, and attacks him at a potential point of vulnerability. Just the same for us. Just the same for us. We have a victory, and perhaps in the spiritual life, and we conquer a besetting sin, and we congratulate ourselves, and before we know where we are, we've fallen because temptations come. And so the devil says this: think about yourself, Jesus. Think about yourself. Put yourself first. You've deserved it. You're hungry, aren't you? So, the devil so soon assaults the senses, the body and its needs. This not only speaks, of course, of bread, but it speaks of all the material things of life. And the devil says this to us sometimes. Think about yourself. Reward yourself. Yes, that's right. Be ultra sensitive towards yourself. Yes, do bear a grudge if someone's offended you and they weren't aware of it, because they should be sensitive to you, and you, because you're important, aren't you? You can see how subtle this is, and how we've got to guard our hearts against selfishness. And you know, the devil has an aim, and it's this: to so subvert my faith as to make me put self at the centre of my life. And that's the same for you. The devil wants yourself central. And if he's resisted here, and praise God, we can resist, we may resist. If we resist the devil at this point, you know what he does? He ups the ante. He ups the ante. He puts more pressure on. And he then tempts on a higher aspect of our nature. And he does this with the Lord. He moves the temptation from appetites to ambition. And he then says to the Lord Jesus, all this authority I will give you, all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And this has been given to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. If you worship before me, all will be yours. And this is on a higher level than the first temptation, of course. Now, my friends, don't you or I ever think that we are a match for combating the enemy? We're not, actually. We're not. We need the Lord's help, don't we? We really do. And temptation assaults Jesus in various ways. And a temptation comes to us as well. In what respect? Well, I just put some points down I just came to mind. To doubt God's providential ways. That's a temptation, is it? To doubt God's providential ways. You know, God's forgotten you. He doesn't care. If you are who God says you are, become a magician. Say, abracadabra, stones become bread. You can do it. And this is a temptation, really, to doubt God's providential care. And also, it's a temptation to deny his dependence on God. No, says the devil, don't be dependent on your heavenly Father. Exercise your power, yourself, if you have any, that is, strike out on your own. Well, we are so subject to temptation, we have to be very, very careful. Be independent. Don't be dependent. And we have to say, no, I will be dependent on the Lord. And I will be dependent on my brothers and sisters in the local church. I will. By God's grace, I'll seek to help them and they'll seek to help me. The other temptation in this respect was to demonstrate that he was the Son of God. Prove this by a miracle. I'm all for miracles, says the devil. I'm all for miracles. More the merrier. No, but this was an attack on the incarnation. Our Lord Jesus would turn a few loaves and fishes to feed thousands later in his ministry. But that wasn't for him, it was for others. Jesus has no need to prove anything. That's the point. And nor have you or I. In Christ we're accepted, our identity is secure, we're in Christ, and we're not to yield space to the devil's assaults in any way. Another temptation, this was a temptation to abuse his power. He could do this, but it would be an entire selfish thing if he did. An unholy use of his power. He's not ruled by self, he's ruled by the law of love. So how are you and I? Are we the centre of our lives? Well, that's the way of defeat and discouragement. Here's another aspect of the temptation and to selfishness, to opt out of difficulty. Well, you're in a difficulty. You've got to short circuit this and make sure that the difficulty goes. All of us at one time or another have gone through difficulties. And it is, And it's just that's the fact of the matter. And it's very subtle temptation that comes to us to opt out in an ungodly way of the trials that come to us. But the Lord calls us to walk by faith and not by sight, and therefore we will get the victory in the difficulty, in the trial, at God's timing, and not our own. And our Lord Jesus would be fed, but at God's time, he would be fed. Now this is what we're told, and the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Matthew 4 and verse 11. Now, the trials and the troubles that we face will be overruled by God at his timing. And we can afford to trust him through the storm, through the difficulty. So here is a temptation not only to selfishness, but to impatience as well, isn't it? So here is the subtlety. Here then is the significance of this temptation. Well, now you and I will never be ever tempted in precisely this manner, that the evil one will never come to you or I and say, turn this flinty rock into bread. So is this irrelevant then? Does it not mean anything for us? No, bread here then means the material things of life. Here's the challenge. Do you really believe that God will provide for you and your family day by day? Do you really believe that? And if you do, why panic? Why panic? Oh yes, yes, I do believe God can save my soul, but I'm not too sure he'll be able to feed me. That's ridiculous. Can't you see the illogicality of that? If he's done the greater, he'll do the lesser. The greater, he saved your soul. The lesser, he'll feed you. He'll clothe you. And the Lord Jesus spent some time, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount, encouraging us to trust in him when we have troubles and we have difficulties. Therefore, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I think this temptation has to be read in the light of this passage in Matthew 6, 25 and following. So, do trust in the Lord, won't you? When the pressure's on, and when redundancy is threatened, and when inflation soars, and when it's very tempting to overstretch yourself financially and go into debt. Very tempting. And the world will give you every encouragement to do this. Well, I say to you, trust the Lord. Trust him to provide. Don't panic. Many today, they're satisfying their stomachs and their physical desires, and they're starving their souls, aren't they? The significance of this temptation. And then the last thing is the subduing of this temptation. How does Jesus deal with this subtle assault on him by the devil? This temptation to selfishness. How may we guard our hearts against this? Well, does our Lord use extraordinary means? No, he doesn't. And I ever thank God for this. I thank God he uses ordinary means. He uses the word of God. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Well, praise God for that. It is written. Therefore, Jesus says, I will appeal to Scripture. I will appeal to the book of Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And giving us the answer in this way gives us encouragement that when we face trouble and difficulty and temptation, and selfishness is beckoning us to pander to it, we can say, no, Lord, you said in your word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He has given to us the scriptures, the word of God. In all probability, I don't believe that the Lord had a copy of the scriptures with him. I don't believe he unrolled a roll of manuscript and read. I believe he quoted this from memory. So what does that tell me? It tells me it's a very good thing to memorize scripture, to teach your youngsters scripture. This is a great thing at a holiday Bible club, memory verse. What a wonderful thing that is, to teach the youngsters the word of God and to encourage them to remember scripture. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. This is the first word of ministry in our Lord's ministry, although it was in a private sense. It was combating the enemy. And what does he do? He reaffirms and asserts the authority of the word of God. Well, I'm encouraged by that. I really am. I have to say to you, what a great privilege to be a Christian and to see my Lord take on the enemy by quoting scripture. By quoting scripture. And all these quotes that our Lord uses in Luke 4 is from the same book. So our Lord Jesus overcomes this assault to his humanity by ordinary means, showing to you and to I that the word of God is available to us. Thus, it must be used wisely and well. Well, the devil would come back again. So my confidence is not in myself, but it's in my Lord, and it's in his word. And as I guard my heart and say no to sin and no to temptation, no to selfishness, I can be assured of his help. May God help us. Well, let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord, and bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together.